And welcome back. Hour number two, middle of the week, Wednesday. So there are a lot of important developments we need to mention, but let's start off with something that is actually a little bit humorous in a way. It's a story Erica just sent to me a couple hours ago. It's kind of funny when you think about it. As you know, we spend a lot of time trying to cover this issue of purported vaccine odors, smells, the smell, the highly offensive smell, which has been described as almost everything from an overfull outhouse in the middle of August to some kind of dryer sheet insanity perfumey smell. Who knows? It's intolerable to many. It's very strong by virtually all accounts. Some people even allege they can smell it through a wall in their home if some vaxxed people who are exuding the odor happen to walk by in front. So, young lady, how many people have walked by your house that have driven you into the bedroom and under the covers and for your gas mask?
Well, none so far.
All right. Well, if you fly on Swiss Air, you might have more luck. Swiss flight to New York City forced to land in Paris due to... Go ahead, that's your cue.
An unusual odor in the cockpit.
Otherwise known as a bad smell, so says the story. While the insides of aircraft aren't known for smelling like roses, especially after a 12-hour turbulence-filled jaunt across the continents, it turns out that some odors... The spelling of odors has always amused me. O-D-O-U-R-S. Odd hours. Odors. Odors. The smell of some odors even give pilots pause. According to this program called 20 Minutes, a Swiss flight from Zurich to New York was forced to declare an emergency on the evening of July 11th because of a weird smell in the cockpit. The flight was then diverted to land in Paris. In Paris. Tell us more, pray tell.
Well, the long and the short of it was that there was an odor coming from the cockpit that they weren't sure what it was. It didn't smell mechanical. I think the final description was it smelled like dirty socks.
Dirty socks. Freaked out the pilots. They couldn't figure it out. And they requested emergency landing status and got it. All right, here's
but
the question.
But evidently, this is not the first time that this has happened. There were two other previous occasions back last fall.
Mm-hmm. So why did the pilots suddenly decide to turn the plane around? Well, according to Swiss, it's now just Swiss, the spokesperson, Michael, you've pronounced his name so well. Michael Steif. Steif said that LX-18 declared an emergency as it flew over the British capital because the pilot had started to notice a strange and unusual smell in the cockpit. While it sounds innocuous, bad smells can be a good indicator that there is a fault somewhere in the plane. Now, they didn't describe this as an electronic smell either. It was an organic smell of dirty socks. I think it may have been worse than that. And out of an abundance of caution, most pilots choose to land if the smell persists. So one wonders if the passengers got whiff of it. I guess the pilots were worried about being overcome in the cockpit. It's an odd one. It's probably a pilot vaxxed exuding the smell. And many of them don't know they're exuding the smell, but they are. And the other pilot was saying, hey, Charlie, I hate to be the one to tell you, but your deodorant failed. This ain't going to work for 8 hours. So anyway, there you go.
Have been overpowering to turn a plane around.
Yeah. Oh, no, they were getting ready to... They were going over London, heading out over the big blue water for their 8-hour flight to New York, or 7 hours, whatever was left. And they said, no, this isn't going to work. So there you go. Okay, the latest numbers. Now, if you've listened to our program, you'll know that in many cases we have a figure of 83% that we feel is reasonable in terms of the number of Americans who are vaxxed. Now, that has a couple of different definitions, the term vaxxed. But the latest stats from apparently OpenVAERS, I don't know this site, but it's a site, are that 70% of all Americans are fully vaxxed. Think about that. 70%, 7 out of 10, are fully vaxxed. And fully vaxxed means?
Is it at least two? Two and a booster?
Yeah. Yeah. And 81% are registered as having at least one injection of the bioweapon. So there are your latest figures. 81, at least one shot, 70% fully vaxxed. Now, that could actually be 5 or 6 injections in some cases. Some people got a little crazy, and they got driven into that profile, so they took a lot of needles. At any rate, it's at least 2 injections and a booster. And as you know, if you've listened, they're coming out, with a new booster here in, a month, 2 months, something, 6, 8 weeks?
Well, Moderna has already applied. They're just waiting for the green light.
Right. They can give themselves a green light as far as I know.
Pretty much.
They don't have to wait around. So the new boosters, and if you also pay attention, you'll know that it seems to be the case, irrefutably, that people who get boosted are shedding more in the couple of weeks after the shot than they might later on. They're really unloading the stuff. So
that is the consensus, yes. Yes, yeah. They do seem to be churning out more of whatever toxin they've been programmed to create.
Now, that can mean spike. It can mean mRNA, potentially, the molecules. And it can mean stuff we don't even know about. But at the very least, it's spike. And you don't want spike in your body, okay? And we did learn last program about antibodies. That's another very big thing. So go listen to that program and certainly share it. Just to briefly recap it, your body's immune system goes crazy when the mRNA instructions from an injection transfect your cells and your cells begin to produce an avalanche of spike protein in your body. Everywhere it goes. Wherever there's blood, there's spike. Isn't there a beer commercial, something like that once? Sort of resonates in the
like
back
it.
Of my head. Not being a beer drinker, anyway. All right. Wherever there's blood, there's spike. If you've gotten a shot and you're dumping it. Now, to further make that point clear, the average injection of the bioweapon injects into your body 40 trillion, we've said this before, 40 trillion mRNA information molecules, instructions, 40 trillion. And each one potentially could transfect one of your cells and have that cell genetically altered so it produces nonstop spike, possibly for the rest of your life. Okay? Now, how many cells in the human body? That's your cue.
About 37 million, trillion, right?
37
trillion.
37 trillion. Yep. So they give you more mRNA molecules, instruction sets, in one injection than you have cells in your body. 40 versus 37. These are round numbers. But just to give you an idea of how damn deadly these shots are, and then don't forget how the E. coli bacteria can apparently be taken over and ordered to produce mRNA.
So and you have or a spike, depending, yeah.
And or. But you at least have the clear potential to be producing your own mRNA indefinitely, courtesy of your digestive bacteria, most apparently commonly E. coli. So, happy day.
That's right.
Get those shots.
I see a lot of misinformation now on going on the internet about this SV40 promoter sequence
that was found into the lights of its own. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, people are misunderstanding. They think it's the whole virus. It's not the whole virus. It is the promoter. It's just a portion of the virus. The promoter does not cause cancer. The part of the SV40 virus that causes cancer is the large T antigen. The promoter just tells the cell what transcript to read and produce so that it can assemble the rest of the virus. It is the large T antigen of the SV40 virus that's the problem. That large T antigen does two things. It turns off your P53, the ability of the P53 to protect the genome. And it turns off the retinoblastoma tumor suppressor gene. Mm-hmm. And so you get uncontrolled cell division. That's what makes SV40 virus carcinogenic or oncogenic. And it's not always oncogenic, but it will be in the case of a cell that has been mutated and has defects in it. And then it can just multiply and divide uncontrollably, like a cancer cell will, because it has two of these major tumor suppressor genes disabled.
Your top two, probably.
Yes, those mm-hmm. are major ones. There's others, but it can. You know, if that happens to get integrated into somebody's genome, this SV40 promoter that is in these vials, depending on where it integrates, if it integrates in the vicinity of a tumor suppressor, tumor promoter gene, that could lead to cancer. And then, of course, the spike protein that may be produced from this transcript, this gene transfection, I would call this an oncoprotein. It has the ability to contribute to cancer in multiple ways. So it's not to say that SV40 is not insignificant, but it's not in the way people are thinking.
No, they think that the whole virus is there, and that's what's going to cause cancer.
No,
it's a little more complicated.
Even without that promoter, these shots have the ability to cause cancer. I mean, we were already seeing that.
The spike protein is, I think...
Oncogenic. Name it is oncogenic.
Name a component that is not oncogenic.
Not much.
No. And what are the masses talking about in the alt news world? They're still talking about hydras, self-assembling nanotech crystals and transmitters,
yeah.
Graphene oxide,
and venom,
et cetera.
Don't forget the venom.
No, venom's in everything. That's a given now. And the latest laugher was people are actually going around saying they're putting venom in glyphosate, the herbicide, Roundup and similar products, and they're spraying everything with venom. It's getting in your food that way. But these people are not able to think logically for more than a half sentence, or they'd come to the end of the sentence and say, hey, that doesn't make any sense. It's sad. But we go back to
they've taken bits of information and spun them into a fantastical story that has everybody's
write their own
attention
screenplay.
Now. Right.
That's right. Yep, and a lot of them are getting filthy rich in the process. Go ahead.
Oh, this is a huckster's paradise, an absolute huckster's paradise right now. The stuff I'm seeing, people are being victimized a second time around, maybe even a third time around, when they get sucked into these narratives. And they are narratives.
And they pass them along to others by way of just rudimentary conversation, because 81% of America has at least one shot in it. So those people are going to be talking. The word is out now. They're afraid and they're concerned, and they should be. We have spent a lot of time on this, and I hope you longtime listeners have a pretty good grasp of things by now. You don't buy into these sci-fi fantasies that are being thrown everywhere constantly. It's nonstop. So just to repeat, when you get that booster shot, you're getting 40 trillion mRNA instruction packets, molecules, okay? You're not getting spike unless you're getting the one vaccine that does nothing but spike, and that's Novavax. It's all it is spike protein. So you can go that route if you want. But the average injection gives you the instructions making your body produce the spike proteins. And then we found out about the DNA plasmids. The plasmids go looking for, most prominently, E. coli bacteria. They take over the bacteria. They order the bacteria to begin to produce what? mRNA, which is turned loose in the body as well. So they got you there. They got you coming and going here with this thing.
Well, and the third concern is the linearized DNA that is also in these shots. You've got the circular plasmid DNA, that's one, and then strips of linear one. These should have been filtered out. These are part of the production process. They should have been filtered out. They're not. There's a substantial amount in these vials. Consistently, it's not as if, you know, one batch had a little bit more and others didn't have any. It's across the board from the very first ones that were rolled out en masse, that were mass-produced. You can find it. So if the linearized DNA gets into your nucleus, that has the potential to be integrated. And that would be a serious problem. And number one, depending on where it's integrated. And then number two, it's now a permanent part of that cell.
Yes. And the fourth aspect out of probably 20 is what we talked about last program, the anti-antibody that your body literally goes into a modality. When it's overwhelmed with spike, it starts throwing off antibodies like there's no tomorrow, and for some people there is no tomorrow, and your body throws off so many antibodies, it's almost out of control crazy, and your body will take steps to try to give all those antibodies a for sure target, something to latch onto and go after. So what does your body do to help try to balance this incredible avalanche of antibodies? Your body produces a mirror of the spike protein to give your overwhelming antibody response something to do in case it can't find enough spike. It's trying to balance things. The whole body is such an incredible balancing act. This is mind-boggling.
The name of this phenomenon, for anyone that's interested, is called immune network theory. And it was first postulated back in the 1970s and has been expanded upon since then. And then back in January of, I think it was 2022, there was a paper written about it, how it is actually being documented in cases of both infection and injection of this SARS-CoV-2 virus. So,
you know,
there's no end to the metabolic destruction that happens.
No. And none of these people who have taken shots very few people who have, of that 81%, who have taken at least one shot in this country. And these are VAERS stats now, not that VAERS is the Bible. But none of those people, in most cases, feel as good as they did before taking the shot. I'll leave it right there. You can extrapolate from that. So we've got real big problems here. Now, we also have a nice little video clip we're going to play. And this is a Dr. Shoemaker. But before we start the video, I want to just mention that in the alt world of bioweapon news, just to keep everything straight, we feel, without question, there are an awful lot of big names who are compromised, created opposition, or otherwise trying to make a buck or two on the fear factor here, or all kinds of variations thereof, all right? It's a very treacherous world, the alt news world. Just keep that in mind. When you go into it, do not rush to judgment on anything. Take it under advisement. Think about it. We hope you're listening to our program. We will never, ever lie or misrepresent anything to you. We never have. All right, so here we have a video with a doctor named Shoemaker. Tell us more.
All right, so this is pertaining to the citizens in Canada. They've had a national inquiry into this whole COVID scam, and many health professionals and lawyers gave their testimony. This has been going on for about a month, and some very, very impressive testimonials from some well-spoken people. And this is Dr. Chris Shoemaker. He's a, I believe, general or maybe emergency room physician up in Canada, who gave about a 45-minute presentation. We have about 5 minutes of it. That's very poignant and...
No, it's cutting edge, very, very serious stuff.
He just nails it, and it's really incontrovertible, and he's not afraid to call a spade a spade.
Or a spike a spike.
A spike a spike.
All right, here we go. Whoops. Hold on. Let me start this again. And here we go.
Have been forced to fight here with COVID-19. It's a subtle, purposeful, immunologic poison that's been put into our bodies and for which there was a plan. In Denmark, for example, a child like Sean Hartman would still be alive because even when they were giving it to children, it was not mandated. It was available, but the parent could make their own decision, and their child could attend to sports and anything to do with school without the vax. It was just determined, because it was an experimental vaccine, it should be the legal choice of both the child and the parent whether to get vaccinated or not. But they took away even that aspect. They just didn't let children get it at all as of September 1st of last year.
Can you share with us your thoughts, because obviously you're against vaccinating children, and can you share with us why that is?
Certainly. It's because the shots are immunotoxic to everyone that receives it, whether you're 50 or whether you're 5 years of age. It's worse in childhood because the children have such a strong immune system. Strong immune systems are what react to spike being inappropriately in their cells. And if your cells, your myocardial cells, are filled up with 40 trillion, and that's the number, by the way, that's the number that the video I had hoped would surprise you with, 40 trillion mRNAs are in every shot you take. 40,000 billion. There's only 80 viral entities that are in every polio shot you take. So if you get your four shots of polio over a lifetime or circumstance as a young child, you've had 320 little viral entities enter your body. Entities that are inert, entities that can't reproduce or make more polio spike, if there was such a thing inside you. It just won't happen. It's just the inert shell of the virus, and the body can make a proper immune response to that.
Right. Okay.
And this is bad news whether you're an adult or a child, specifically problematic for children because their innate immune system has to develop over the first 10 years. And when you give this sludge into the bodies of children, you are making your innate immune system not develop, the kind of things that keep you safe in the sandbox, the kind of things that keep you safe as a 16-year-old moving around the world, being exposed to new things. You need a strong innate immune system that has not been hijacked by an inappropriate item put into you at age 5. So that's why it was so important for it to stop in children as quickly as it did in Denmark, and that's why it's equally important that it happened here in Canada. And if I could give you a picture of it, everyone, we all understand transplants. We understand if someone's kidney is put into you or someone's heart is put into you, your own natural immune system would attack the heck out of that transplanted kidney or attack the heck out of that transplanted heart if the surgeons and the internists didn't give a great degree of immune suppression, very heavy drugs that would make your immune system basically go to sleep so that that new heart or that new kidney could settle into your body. Here's the problem with spike protein. When spike protein goes into your body, you got 30,000 billion cells in your body, you got 40,000 billion mRNAs, enough to go into every cell of your body. So they're all going in and they're all creating a flag. They are all creating the fact that your body recognizes your heart is no longer your heart. It's a transplanted heart. Your kidney is no longer your kidney. It's a transplanted kidney, the body thinks. And that's why the body goes after it. And that's why the attacks are so varied. That's why one person could be suffering massively from a hepatic or a kidney ailment. And another person will have a dissection in the aorta because the aorta is being inflamed by the attack. Or the heart. The typical one is myocarditis in children, young adolescents, male and female, getting pain and troponin elevations and all the features of myocarditis, and it's because your immune system, it's not the spike itself that's harming you, it's your immune system going after the spike that has changed the genetic image of your heart, and your body thinks it's not your heart, and that's why it attacks the heck out of it. This is basic immunologic science. The makers of this immunotoxic vaccine knew this. They knew this for a purpose. You can't make this something this damaging to humanity without doing it on purpose. And that is actually my major message of my talk today, is I accuse someone, and I can't name them right now, but I accuse some entity of highly purposefully making things in the fashion that they did, because it would not be as toxic as it is. It would not be so able to hijack your immune system to kill you slowly or quickly if it was not done purposefully. It has been done purposefully.
Okay, no question about that. And I think the example of using the polio vaccine, if you have four polio vaccines, you have 80 times 4, 320 total shells of the polio virus that your body can use to create an immunological safety net, ready to go if it's needed. 320, four shots. Each single shot of the bioweapon, 40 trillion mRNA instruction packages to go looking for your cells to transfect them and order them, genetically ordering them, to produce the spike protein. 40 trillion.
And don't forget, each of those mRNA transcripts can be read more than once.
Oh, that's important. That's critical. Thank you for saying that.
So, if they persist, and it looks like they're persisting, they're finding mm-hmm. them 2 months later.
Months later.
Still?
Yep.
Yeah.
Still there. Floating around.
So they're not breaking down as we were promised, if you ever believed that. And so every time they get read, they will produce a spike protein.
Unreal.
So depending on which organs they ended up, I mean, we know from the biodistribution studies with the lipid nanoparticles, most of them go to the liver, which makes sense because they're fat, and fat gets processed through the liver, but then they also end up in the spleen and the ovaries and the heart, kidneys, brain, adrenal glands. There isn't any organ that's really untouched, but some organs do accumulate more than others. And I think the fact that the liver gets the lion's share of this stuff is a problem, because the liver is very adept at synthesizing proteins anyway. But what does that mean for your own proteins? How many proteins of your own are you sacrificing because the liver's been taken over and is now producing spike or whatever else is in this stuff?
What Dr. Shoemaker said about the body not recognizing its own organs as its own organs and starting to attack them is another pivotal issue in this war on humanity. That's huge.
Wherever this stuff ends up, the body will see it as foreign and begin attacking it. That's the T-cell-driven autoimmunity that we talk about. And as long as those cells keep producing that foreign protein, the body will continue to try to attack it and get rid of it. And that includes the lining of your blood vessels, the endothelium. And that's why this endothelium is breaking down and casts, these endothelial casts, are ending up in the bloodstream and forming these amyloid-like clots.
They're dead cells, and they just agglutinate together, and then you've got the misfolded protein aspect of it. So you have this, apparently, this massive agglutination of
it's debris.
Protein, debris, garbage. These things are just, and they will not respond to blood thinners, so forget that. You have an amyloid-based clot, and you've got a big problem.
I know of some individuals who are on the triple therapy, which is actually quadruple therapy when you add in everything. Mm-hmm. And it's keeping things maybe at bay, but in the whole scheme of things, you've got a second problem. You've got the clots, and then you've got a perfusion issue. Your endothelium is damaged to the point where it's becoming fibrotic in some cases, and you can't perfuse oxygen into the tissues.
Right. Okay, I got a note from our friend, jet pilot Tom, about the dirty socks smell in the Swiss Air cockpit. It's interesting. It may not be somebody who's exuding the smell after being vaxxed. He's got another explanation here. This is very interesting. All right, I'm just finishing it. All right, he says, and thank you, Tom. The dirty sock smell is an indication of problems with the air cycle machine. That's the machine that conditions the air and pressurizes the cabin. Possibly lubricating oil is being atomized and getting into the conditioned. This is actually a deadly condition. It can also signal too much moisture in the ACM, and it is the moisture that will freeze and possibly shut down, causing a partial or total loss of pressurization. Not always somebody that's been vaxxed. So you better tell Swiss Air this, Tom. They don't seem to be able to figure it out. It wasn't in the story anyway.
Well, that's good they turned it around then. That really...
Yeah.
Could have ended badly.
All right, for you pilots out there, he said again, the smell is an indication of problems with the air cycle machine, the ACM. That's the machine that conditions the air and pressurizes the entire airliner cabin. Possibly lubricating oil being atomized and getting into the conditioner. This is actually a deadly condition. It can also signal too much moisture in the ACM, and the moisture will freeze and possibly shut down, causing a partial or total loss of pressurization. Not always somebody vaxxed. Okay, and airliners, Swiss Air doesn't seem to know about this. At least they're not talking. Interesting. All right, thank you.
Well, we wouldn't want to shake people's confidence.
No, goodness no. Okay.
Getting back to this short video that we just heard, if people are interested, mm-hmm. you can find this whole series, National Citizens Inquiry Canada, on Rumble, under National Citizens Inquiry CA. It's all one word, National Citizens Inquiry CA. You can see all the interviews and testimonials. It's really impressive. I hats off to Canada. That's really, they really put together some very compelling testimony.
Excellent. Okay. Let's go take a look at some of our human stories. Again, they are anecdotal, but they are from people who are obviously in very grave condition and more than worried about their well-being or that of their loved ones, family, friends, whatever. So we've got some more stories here together. These are things you'll never hear on the alt news platform or the mainstream media. Once in a while, they'll highlight somebody who took the jab and is now in a wheelchair or something like that. But there are so many stories like this. It's not funny. They're endless. All right. Where do you want to start?
You start.
No. Ladies first.
No, you lead, I follow.
All right. she is a good dancer, too, I'll bet. All right, let's see. Cancer from shedding.
Okay.
Then we'll jump into iron next. We got to do the iron thing. Okay, cancer from shedding. Someone says, I was reading somewhere that the unjabbed can end up with cancer from being around the jabbed. And in response to that, I know a person who resides in a 10-story apartment building. They were in lockdown, no visitors. This person is unvaxxed, faced discrimination, and medical doctors would not see her. She was in this limbo. A neighbor she befriended had the diagnosis of cancer, and she was fully vaxxed. My friend took her to treatments, wheelchair, loaded to a car, into the car, transported there, and then back. That woman died. My friend, a year later, discovered lumpy breasts, painful. About 2 months later, seeing MDs, cancer in the breasts, lungs, lymph, and a recent eval bone. It spread and diffused through the hip bones. She's not mentioned the type of cancer cells. This has all occurred in just a 4-month period. The doctors are saying it's treatable. So she has breast cancer, probably, lung cancer, lymph cancer, and a recent evaluation suggested bone cancer, I guess. So it spread and diffused through the hip bones and God knows where else. This is really awful. So the only contact the woman has, she was taking her back and forth in her wheelchair to get treatment. Yep.
And other than that, relatively isolated.
Yep.
So
shedding again is maybe the biggest story at this point for the 19% thereabout who have not been injected. They're really facing trouble all the time. Okay.
How about this, just on a similar topic, post-vax lumps?
Go ahead.
Oh, where's the first one?
Yes, a coworker?
Yeah, but there was a prelude to that, and I don't see it. All right, well, it's asking about lumps. And this is vaxxed. Someone says, yes, a coworker got 4 jabs, got a huge lump on the jawbone, doctor took an x-ray and couldn't figure out what it was, then sent her for a biopsy, couldn't figure out what it was from the biopsy result, then finally operated to remove it and sent it to the lab and still couldn't figure out what it was. Now she's got another big lump on her neck, and now is now waiting to see the doctor again.
Oh.
Another one says, yes, my aunt. After she got it, she found she has a rare form of uterus cancer. She was very healthy before, but she's so glad she got the jab because she thinks it saved her for going to the doctor. Oh, my.
The rationalization of some of these people is so tragic.
And third one, my hairdresser's daughter got a huge brain tumor, quote, luckily on the outside of the membrane, so it was removed. It came on quick, headache for 3 days, surgery a week later. I don't know if they know what the tumor was, maybe a blood clot. Number 4 says, yes, I know several people. One lady at work came up with lumps on her wrist, neck, underarm. She's now been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. She can hardly walk and is struggling to do simple things. She's only 47.
Wow.
Last one. Thank you for sharing that. Oh, your poor aunt. I hope it's identified and sorted ASAP. I have a feeling there are more cases than talked about. Please keep us updated on what happens.
That may be the most important statement of all. She's right. There are many more cases out there than are being talked about. This is just one small group. You've got 230 million people are injected in this country. How many of them have lumps, problems, all kinds of issues, dozens of issues? And they're still ambulatory, they can still work, but they don't feel good. Now this, I got to go back to the first one. That poor lady, a kind heart, took that woman with cancer after she was jabbed to get her treatments in her wheelchair, back and forth, and she eventually died. And what did that good citizen, that good Samaritan get for it? Cancer.
Yeah, disseminated cancer.
All over the place. Oh, geez. Yes, shedding, don't forget it. She was exposed, obviously, a lot to the woman who died. That's in the car, shedding. So if you're in the car, say you carpool to work with vaxxed people and you're not, I sure as hell would stop that in a hurry. Find another way. You do not want to be locked up in that small space in a car with somebody who's giving this stuff off with every breath they emit.
Yeah.
Okay. Next.
You pick.
What is that? What is the one you read to me earlier? Remember I said we got to do that one?
Yeah, sad times. You see it?
All right. Yeah, I got it. All right. Now, this is a woman, a divorced woman, who has a child, and her ex-husband is the other part of this little story. The father of my child took 3 shots. He has been having health issues for over a month now. He went on a cruise and had this weird skin thing, itchy bumps, on his arms and legs. The doctor told him his immune system was weakened. The doctor gave him some cream, and it cleared up. However, since the 1st of July, as in this month, 12 days ago, he has been sick with the flu or something, and he now has no appetite. We were texting today and wanted to know how he was doing. After a bit, I told him I just took a little turkey out of the oven, had picked some green beans to have with it, and needed to make some gravy. He asked me to please bring him a plate of food. So I did. He is a lot worse off than I thought. It almost looks like he might have had a stroke because his mouth was not working right. He sounds like he is 80 years old. I was shocked when I saw him. I didn't go in his house, and I stepped back off the porch right after he opened the front door. I have never seen him cry before, but he cried today. He thanked me for my kindness, which is another shock to me. He knows his days are numbered from taking the shots. I don't recognize this man crying today. I can only guess he might be doing a lot of soul searching. I cried all the way home.
That's very, very sad.
And how often is it being repeated?
Yeah.
We don't know. They will not label. They will not be truthful in the mainstream media. And the mainstream commercial television is the reality for the great majority of the people. That's their reality. They don't hear it. It doesn't exist. Out of sight, out of mind. And most people will not discuss their personal health crises. Like this gentleman did not. He obviously didn't want to talk about it. He finally broke down and said, "Will you please bring me some food?" So yeah, his immune system is weakened. He's got VADs. This is, and probably many more things than that. We don't know. So
well,
this is the human aspect of it. Go ahead.
Yeah, the rapid aging. You can see it.
Yes.
The tremendous stress that the body is under. I mean, this is like having just a horrendous severe infection. The body is desperately trying to shut down the production of this foreign gene protein. And it's rallying all its forces to do that. Meanwhile, the proteins that aren't being properly neutralized are doing damage, causing clotting, inflammation in the arteries, organ dysfunction. I can't even imagine these livers. Think about all of the coagulation proteins that are produced by the liver. Most of your coagulation proteins come from the liver, which is why when you have liver disease, the blood just doesn't, you can't maintain hemostasis, the dynamic equilibrium in the blood. And these people are definitely suffering liver issues. That's a given. And you know, when the liver goes, all kinds of bad things happen. I mean, and that's well known in cancer.
Right.
At least in natural treatment circles, that you have to address the toxicity that's happening in the liver. The liver takes care of cleaning the blood, producing proteins, and when that's gone, you're in a lot of trouble.
I can't imagine the average American diet with all the toxicity in it and the poor liver having to deal with that. Never gets
a break.
Well,
and on top of that, we have this issue of iron loading happening simultaneously.
Right.
The liver is the main storage site for iron.
Go ahead.
And when that gets topped off with iron, that it dies. I mean, the oxidative stress coming from the stored iron, it's toxic.
We spent a lot of time on iron again last program. That's in the archives there for you. Just go over on the right side of the homepage and you'll see it. Listen to that. Go ahead and do the iron storage. You've got three of them here you found.
Let's see. Which one should
iron
we...
infusions not working. Whatever.
That's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter had an iron infusion at the end of March. 2 weeks later, she felt great. A couple of months on, symptoms began returning. Her ferritin is 55. Transferrin saturation 14%, her folate 3.7, and she has low B12. I was given folic acid, and I badgered the GP for B12 injections. She has endometriosis, recently diagnosed, and this past month.
This is a daughter.
Yeah, a daughter.
Yeah.
This past month has had two extremely heavy periods within 2 weeks of each other. Latest blood test shows ferritin's 34, transferrin saturation's 21. And that was all that was tested. As for complete blood work to check her hemoglobin, etc., she cannot tolerate oral iron, so she's not taking any supplements apart from folic acid and the loading dose of B12 injections. Why would her transferrin saturation index have gone up? Does it fluctuate? I'd be grateful for any input. Well, this is classic with this anemia of chronic inflammation. Loading people up with iron when they're in that state only gives transient relief.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that a couple months into this, the lifespan of a red blood cell is about 120 days, 3 months. So, you know, it works for the lifespan of that blood cell, but then those blood cells die. What happens to the iron? Well, it should be, in a healthy individual, recycled to make more red blood cells. However, in this case, it's not. It's being sequestered. So she's right back where she started from. Now, so the iron is getting you know, in this case, if she's bleeding, she's probably losing a lot of it. It's hard to know without doing a complete iron panel, and it may require more investigation than that. I just see these people coming into this group with these characteristic symptoms of the bioweapon injection and thinking that an iron supplement is the answer. And if people only knew that taking a lot of iron, particularly when it's not the problem, the deficiency of iron is not the problem here. It's the ability of the body to generate red blood cells and recycle the iron. And it's really dysregulated in this disease, and very few people seem to understand that.
Very few. And just to bring you up to date, if you missed the last program, Erica signed up for an iron group to monitor what they're saying. And that group is huge. It has over 90,000 members now, right? It's a new group.
Yeah, that's one. There are several. There's several. But this particular one had 85,000 a week ago, and beginning of this week it was up to 90,000. And, you know, just scanning the posts, I've never seen so many people lost and misguided.
I have no idea.
Iron is a very complicated topic anyway. Even the experts in the field pull their hair out trying to figure out why somebody might be anemic or holding on to iron, conversely. It's a very, very complicated topic, and there's no quick fix in most cases. You really do need to have it evaluated properly and interpreted properly.
Good luck finding someone who can do that. A lot of these
especially
doctors,
now.
Just it's out of their range completely. They just don't know. They can get a screen back and look at the blood and see low iron, and they'll have a reflexive textbook response to it, and it's just much more complex than that. So I don't know how these people are going to deal with this over the long term. They're getting infusions. No.
I mean, if you need it, you need it, but you better make sure that you genuinely need it. Otherwise, you are really adding to the oxidative stress in the body and rapidly aging yourself, and increasing your susceptibility to cancer and infections.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing to be taken lightly or casually, as I'm seeing here. I'm really, it's frightening.
Here's one. I'm not going to do the whole thing. Just two little statements. One person writes, "Good luck. I've had over 20 infusions during the past 3 years and encountered no problems." And the response to that is, "Mine's 3 and only been offered liquid iron. Makes me feel sick, like I'm drinking blood." So just get the idea of the diversity of people offering information in these groups about iron. It's all over the map.
Yeah, iron can be very, very toxic when it's not regulated. It has to be bound to proteins in the body to be mm-hmm. regulated properly. And there are problems with this bioweapon illness in regulating those proteins.
Right. It's a guy who's had over 20 infusions in 3 years, not a woman. So you'd think women who have bleeding problems would be worried about iron loss and all that. It's much more complicated, as Eric is saying. All right, we are out of time. Excellent job, as always. Thank you. We'll keep at it and be back with everybody on Friday.
Okay, my pleasure, Jeff. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
All right, be right back. Hold on.